Welcome to the Mint Euro Special 2016 podcast. Over the next 30 days, Ankit Prasad will take you through some of the most exciting happenings from on and off the football field.
Hello and welcome to European Nights, a show about football. Today is Sunday the 3rd of July and I'm Ankit Prasad. There are likely to be a few groggy-eyed football fans around the world today. Germany and Italy are still taking penalties. It's the fans' turn now, and Buffon and Neuer have fallen asleep at the goalposts. Okay, no they haven't, but my, that was a long penalty shootout. It's difficult to even remember what went on before it, but we'll try our best to reconstruct the pieces. Germany seemed all too aware of their record versus Italy, which was that they had never beaten them in a competitive football match, and this showed as Jogi Löw mirrored Antonio Conte's three-man backline, while Mario Gomez and Joshua Kimmich got the nod up front instead of Götze and Draxler. Furthermore, Sami Khedira went off just 15 minutes in and had to be replaced by Bastian Schweinsteiger. Truth be told, the Italians offered very little in terms of attack in the first half. A couple of dangerous-looking crosses and a snapshot by Sturaro is all they could manage, really. Germany too hustled and bustled and passed the ball around a lot, and once or twice Gomez came close to something, but Buffon was largely untroubled. Thomas Müller has incredibly not managed to score in this tournament so far, and his wayward luck continued. In the second half, the Germans got more adventurous, with Mesut Özil always looking like he was up to something. In the 65th minute, a long clearance by Neuer led to Mario Gomez controlling the ball on the Germans' left wing. He took away a couple of defenders and played a super reverse pass to an onrushing Hector, who cut the ball back for Özil to tuck home. The Italians were breached finally and would now have to return the favour, which did not bode well given how the match had gone so far. But somewhere Lady Luck had saved something up for them. What else would make Jerome Boateng raise his hands into the skies while defending a cross? The ball struck the German defender and the referee pointed to the spot. Leonardo Bonucci would convert the resulting penalty under some pretty tense circumstances, and Italy were level. It's probably fair to say that that knocked most of the adventure out of the game. Nobody wanted to lose it at this point, and it was 1-1 till full time. Extra time began with the spectre of penalties already looming, which ought to have given Germany little comfort. The Italians are no England when it comes to penalty kicks. Before the shootout though, Kimmich would come close with an acrobatic attempt, but the whole thing ended with only the two goals being scored. Lorenzo Insigne, who had been bought on with penalties in mind, and Toni Kroos for Germany calmed the nerves a little bit by hitting their openers, but then Simone Zaza, who had also basically only come on to take a penalty, completely made a mess of his hilarious looking effort. But Buffon handed him a reprieve by saving from Müller, who can't buy a goal at the moment. Barzagli scored for Italy, straight down the middle, but Mesut Özil found the upright and gave Italy an advantage, which Graziano Pelle squandered by skewing his effort laughably wide. Draxler scored for Germany, and this brought Leonardo Bonucci forward once again. This time he decided to change sides, but Neuer dived correctly and saved. Bastian Schweinsteiger would have a chance to send Germany through, but the German captain skied his effort. Unbelievable. It was sudden death now, but after all manner of misses and players looking like they'd rather be anywhere else, six penalties were scored on the bounce as neither side refused to blink. That is, until Matteo Darmian stepped forward for Italy. He was hardly Italy-like, sporting Elvis sideburns, and his penalty was a damp squib that Neuer swallowed whole. This gave Hector the chance to win the game for Germany, which he did, squeezing the ball under Buffon, who knew he had a chance to save it. But Germany progressed via penalty shootout. If we had to make a couple of conclusions about this match, one, the whole thing felt a little too bureaucratic and respectful. Italy didn't really have anything in attack, but Germany were wary of their extra man in midfield, and so they changed their formation accordingly. A lot of sides made chosen to take advantage of Italy's three-man defense instead. Two, since penalty kicks were always on the cards, perhaps some of the Italian pairs should have done a little bit better. Everything that went in was right through the middle, with Neuer diving one way or another, while the misses by Zaza and Pelle were almost comical. Also, Schweinsteiger and Darmian blinked under pressure, so glory glory Man United indeed. 3. And so, Germany have finally ended their hoodoo against Italy. It doesn't do much for all the heartbreak they've endured at the Azzurri's hands in previous years, but they'll be hoping that they can build on this and develop a stranglehold of their own. After all, the Germans must conquer the world. And now we have a conversation between Angela Merkel and Silvio Berlusconi. Merkel:
Hello Silvio, I wanted to ask you how you are doing after the surgery on your black heart. I would have called sooner, but as you yourself have taught us, mixing bad business with pleasure is a win-win for everybody, and I also had other business to attend to with Great Britain. But that gave me an idea. Italia has already left the European Championship. Now why doesn't it also leave the European Union? Surely you can convince them that without Germany, Italy can do much better. It is an option, Silvio. It is an option.
Berlusconi:
Ah, Angela, how wonderful for you to call. Of course, I would have been more happy with a text message or nothing at all, but I know how you feel about little Silvio and can understand how exciting it must be for you to call me. Don't worry, I am okay. Zaza tried his best to send me to heaven, but I survived somehow and will live to love another day.
Merkel:
Shame. You know, Silvio, I've been watching Game of Thrones. I say, do you think I could rent out your wine cellar? I have a few barrels of some things I want to put there in case we need to have a party. I'm sure you wouldn't mind. It wouldn't be much compared to the things you have going on there usually. But anyway, Silvio, I must go now as I am busy. Being the leader of Europe's main country can do that, but you wouldn't understand. My players send their regards. Heil Germany!
Coming back to reality, our last quarterfinal tonight is between the hosts France and England from the Stade de France. Oh, sorry, did we say England? We meant Iceland, as England have been eliminated. So it's France-Iceland, and we're not quite sure what that means. For Iceland, it's most likely the biggest game in their history. But is it bigger than even that? An inspection of Iceland's history reveals that the island did not become a sovereign republic till 1944, which makes it about the same age as India. Before that, it was tied to the Danish monarchy, but once the Danes were invaded by Nazi Germany, the Icelandic people held a referendum and decided they no longer wanted ties with their Viking neighbors. During the 70s and 80s, while everyone was all about the Cold War, Iceland were fighting the Cod War over fishing territories with England. But in 1986, Iceland's capital Reykjavik did host a critical meeting between Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev, where they took steps towards nuclear disarmament. As such, Iceland is one of the most peaceful countries in the world, with no standing army and high socio-political stability. That is despite their Prime Minister having to resign recently after his name was mentioned in the Panama Papers. Apart from that, in the last decade or so, Iceland's greatest contribution has been Björk, the singer-songwriter, that big volcano with the unpronounceable name that exploded in 2010 and caused a lot of flights to not fly, and as a location for Game of Thrones shooting. The parts north of the wall were shot there, which makes sense. So in a way, tonight's match versus France is one of the biggest things in their history. It's inconceivable that they'll win this one. Surely it cannot happen. Also, upsets for this week are done, what with Novak Djokovic's early elimination at Wimbledon, but Iceland will not go down easily. They have confidence at the moment, and their squad also has a couple of gems. Their captain, Aron Gunnarsson, has a long throw-in, which is a little unconventional, but nothing we've not seen before. It's nothing compared to Rory Delap's comets that made him worth twice as much as Iniesta and Sam Allardyce's eyes, but it's been effective so far. Kolbeinn Sigþórsson too is flying high, as are most of their teammates and fans. The Stade de France is most likely going to be a sea of blue today, and some of them may be French too. As such, the home side have had a low-key tournament. They beat the Republic of Ireland, sure, but the danger is that they may try to sleepwalk through this round, with an eye on Germany to come. But if they want to get through the Germans, then they're best off taking Iceland seriously, and the only way they can do that is by walloping them. We're going for France to bring justice to Iceland, or Iceland to justice, whichever one. 3-0 sounds like a possibility. And so, we'll only be left with the final three games of these championships. Provided things go to plan, there are a pair of great semi-finals lined up, and we'll be with you all the way. I'm Ankit Prasad, and this has been European Nights.